It's kind of strange. Before she stood up to read the scripture, I was thinking, where's all this rain they promised? You know, sometimes we just need to watch what we think. God had a plan, and that was the time to do it. Including this week, for the next 4 weeks, I'm going to preach a four-week series on prayer. Based on this name of our God, Abba. A-B-B-A. And you already know I like acronyms, so for each letter, there will be a step in our approach to this God. And I really struggled about this. I struggled with it. I've actually agonized over it. St. John of the Cross talks about the dark night of the soul. Well, I tell you, for about 6 weeks, I hadn't really had a dark night of the soul, but it's been cloudy. I just hadn't been connecting with the Lord the way I want to. I've been longing for more in my prayer life. I'm not sure whether it's I hope to go to another level in my relationship with the Lord in prayer or what. But it's been a struggle. It's been agonizing. It's been painful at times. Like I say, not dark, but certainly cloudy. A few thunder showers popping up here and there. And I remembered something George Whitefield said to John Wesley. George Whitefield actually got the field preaching going in England, where hundreds, thousands of people would gather to hear the preaching of the gospel. Well, George was an adventuresome type, and he got tired of it and decided, I'm going to go back to America and preach over there. And Wesley wondered, well, who's going to keep this going? And George says, you do it. And he says, I'm not good at this. I have a problem with this. And George Whitefield said, preach it till you get it. So I guess what I'm doing this morning is I'm going to preach it till I get it. But I'll cut off at 4 weeks whether I really get it or not. Because I only got four letters. But I wanted you to know that part of this is my personal struggle with prayer life, wanting more. And the whole idea of addressing God as Abba from the Aramaic, the language Jesus spoke every day. We're talking about an intimate relationship with our Heavenly Father. You know, Father is kind of a formal term. I sort of think of someone who's, you know, just real prim and proper and lives in a mansion and coming and says, Father, would you please help me with such and such? You know, something like you read in England or something. Around here, we talk about our father sort of generically, you know, but it's dad or daddy or pop or papa or something like that. You don't hear a lot of people addressing their father as father. They usually have a more intimate name. And that's what Jesus introduced with Abba. Everybody said Abba about their father, their earthly father. Even the Jews among which Jesus ministered, but they would never dare call God that close, loving, intimate term. I mean, they didn't even call God by his name because they were afraid they'd break a commandment, so they substituted Lord. They wouldn't even say God. They wouldn't say Yahweh. They wouldn't dare say, Abba. But Jesus wanted to know that God is Abba. He's loving. He's personal. He wants a close, personal relationship with you and me. And as Paul said, all of those who have been adopted into the family of God can address this God as Abba. So today we're going to start with A, of Abba. And I think we build beautifully on our sermon last week. If you weren't here, you missed a great sermon about the prodigal son and the elder son and the father. And Don did an incredible job. And I was deeply touched. And I hope you were as well. But she reminded us how personal this is, because it was very personal for her. That she saw something in Scripture that was incredibly personal and very deep in her life. And you had to be out to lunch to miss that if you were here. I know my son, we were discussing it that afternoon. And he says, "Gee, I almost cried a couple of times myself." See, when we're in meaningful relationships, they touch us deeply, personally. They grab us. God wants us to have that relationship with Him, not, "Father, will you do this?" I mean, he wants us to be connected to Him in a wonderfully personal and beautiful way. So to do this, we need to start out with, how do we approach God to build that kind of relationship? I mean, if you want to build a close, personal, intimate relationship with someone, how do you approach it? I mean, if you want to have that kind of relationship with your husband and wife, do you just take care of day-to-day business? Does that cultivate a close, personal relationship? Oh, by the way, you got to stop by and pick up some bread on the way home, and you might as well pick up some milk, and there's two or three things I need you to do. See, if that's all you have in your marriage relationship, you're not going to have that personal closeness. If you're not trying to build more than that, you're in trouble. And it's the same way with our children and children with their parents. If we're not doing more than just taking care of day-to-day issues in our lives, we are not building a strong personal relationship. And isn't it the same with our friends? If it's all about just having someone to go to lunch with, someone to spend time with when we're lonely, we're just using each other unless we're investing a part of ourselves in that relationship. And how many of us just take care of business with God and go to God when we want something, or when we're desperate, or when we're alone? And we don't do much to cultivate a personal, close relationship with our Heavenly Father, Abba God. So we have to approach Abba in a certain way. Because God is approachable. He's open. He's friendly. He's welcoming. He's inviting us into an incredible relationship journey. That's what Paul is celebrating in the Galatian passage that you heard this morning. God is accessible. He's there for us. He promises all the time, anytime. And boy, you can't get that in your personal earthly relationships. He's always there for us. So how we approach God says something about the depth of our intimacy with God. Well, we need to approach God with adoration and awe. Adoration is I guess the first time I was really impressed with adoration, and it made sense to me, and this is dating me, But it was when the Beatles appeared on the Ed Sullivan Show, and all of these people went crazy. All of these girls were just, you know, back in a certain era, they called it swooning. Whatever you call it, that's adoration. just so enthralled and at all with the person that you just about go crazy to just be close to them, to be near them. How many of us want to be that close to God? Or maybe just the awe of, what if we received a personal invitation to go to the White House and meet President Bush? I mean, regardless of your political stance, unless you're really fanatical, you would be in awe of that invitation, would you not? I don't know about you, but it'd be real hard for me to go in there and not go, I'm going to shake hands with the president. I'm going to get to meet him in the Oval Office. That's all. And if we want a personal relationship with God, we've got to approach God with the respect that God's due and give him the kind of adoration we would performers and superstars. And be it much as all with him as it would to be walk in to the White House and shake hands personally with the president. Do we approach God that way before we pull out our laundry list? And appreciation. If we're going to approach God, we've got to appreciate what God does. We've got to give thanks to God for all the blessings he's bestowed upon us. The things that we have because we've got that kind of God. In 1 Chronicles 16:25, it says, "For great is the Lord and greatly to be praised, and he is to be held in awe above all gods." And then we're thankful for the opportunity. Just as we'd be thankful to be at that concert adoring the star, or in the White House in awe of the president, thankful for the opportunity to be alive and participate in something that incredible. Well, every time we go to our Abba Father, that's an incredible thing that we can have that relationship instead of just a cold, my heavenly Father, out there somewhere, I don't know where, but certainly not my Abba. So approaching God with adoration and awe and appreciation. Yesterday, I must admit, I had to work in hay. And while I was actually working in the hay, I was not real appreciative. But on the way down there, as I turned off 95 onto 130 to go to the farm and saw the corn and the tobacco and the soybeans that had been recently planted, once I turned off on that road and went down that little country road, it was just, thank you, Lord. It looks so beautiful. It's so green. It looks wonderful out here. Look at the tassels on the corn. And to pull up to that old farmhouse and survey Jane's family farm, it's just, thank you, Lord. Isn't it great that I get to come to this place? Now, when I climbed up on the tractor, I didn't say, thank you, Lord. Isn't it great to be on this tractor? And when I was out in that hot sun, moving bale after bale, I wasn't saying, oh, thank you, Lord, for the sun. You know, I didn't keep that the whole time. But I got into thanking God. And I did thank him when it was over. And I was headed home. But, we've got to approach God with adoration and awe and appreciation for all of his goodness. And then, we've set the stage for the relationship. And when we face that much goodness and that much holiness, we're a little bit like Isaiah in the sixth chapter. When he says, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne high and lofty, and the hem of his robe filled the temple. Seraphs were in attendance above him. Each had six wings, and with two they covered their faces, and with two they covered their feet, and with the other two they flew. And one called to another and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the pivots of the thresholds shook as the voices of those who called, and the house filled with smoke. Little old Isaiah said, "Woe is me. I am lost, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips. Yet my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." Then one of the seraphs flew to me, holding a live coal that had been taken from the altar with a pair of tongs. And the seraphs touched my mouth with it and said, "Now, this has touched your lips. Your guilt has departed, and your sin is blotted out." Ooh, isn't that a powerful personal experience with God? See, when we come into that much purity and holiness, we've got to go the next step. We have got to authentically and admit and acknowledge our sinfulness, our unworthiness to be in the presence of someone that wonderful. Wouldn't we feel unworthy if we were standing next to one of our sports superstars? You know, how did I get here? Or standing there in the Oval Office with the presidents? Or with one of the great musical stars of our world? Why not feel that way with our God? I mean, it's hard to say that seriously when you've seen some of the movies. I'm unworthy, I'm unworthy. Those of you know it, and those who don't, don't. But those crazy thoughts cross my mind sometimes. But we are unworthy. So let's admit it. Let's be authentic. Let's be real. Let's don't put on with God who knows everything. Let's just go ahead and admit our sinfulness to ourselves. Because when we're hiding it from God, the only person we're fooling is us. Acknowledge it to our God. That's confession. We did that more this morning in worship. And look at the attitudes that I have that really dishonor God. My actions, my behavior, that really dishonors God. To look, you know, closely at the things in our lives that block a good relationship with this God, because it's an affront to Him, and we can't have the closeness we need. It's an affront to His absolute holiness. If we're going to have a personal, earth-shaking, life-filling, exciting relationship with Abba God, these are the kinds of things we have to do. See, the prodigal son did that. He knew he had dishonored his father. So when he came back, he had a speech already. To follow this plan, to admit his father was great, to admit his father was good, to acknowledge before his father how he had wasted everything. Dawn reminded us of this last week. You see, he approached his father in a way that was going to open his father up to his very heart of hearts, even though he didn't deserve it. But you see, just as the father in that story, we've got a heavenly father that while he was still at a distance, he ran to him. And before he could get out his whole speech, his father embraced him and kissed him and surrounded him with his love. Don't you want to experience that with Abba Father? I was with someone the other day who was having trouble with a forgiveness issue of someone who had really hurt them, really wronged them in a very serious way. And I told them about one of my unforgiveness issues. You know, I'd technically done it, but in my heart, I really didn't let go. And I saw that person at annual conference. As a matter of fact, when I was checking into the hotel, they stood within 2 feet of me and wouldn't speak. And being the stubborn person that I am, I didn't speak either. And thank God the Lord bothered me about that. I don't know whether he was bothered or not. I said, man, here we are, two ministers, and we don't even acknowledge one another's presence. That's not a good thing. I said, I'm going to be done with this. And I figured they would be at the registration desk. And so I intentionally decided I'm going to go over and I'm going to greet this person warmly, even though I thought they had treated me despicably. I'm tired of this. And so I did. I went over there, talked to him. It was a little awkward at first. Then somebody made a comment, and, you know, I had a chance to joke about something, couldn't resist it. And so we ended up laughing and talking, and what I'd been carrying in my heart for 5 years was gone because I took the step forward for the intimacy. Now, I don't know if anything happened in his heart. That's not the issue. I hope something good happened there. If it didn't, but that's his business and his relationship with God. But I left that uncomfortable feeling I'd been carrying around for 5 years at the registration desk. I checked it in, not to pick it up when I leave, not to ever pick it up again. You know, sometimes all we have to do is start down the road, and our Heavenly Father runs to greet us, to embrace us, to kiss us, that he'll do much more of the work than we'll do. Do you want that kind of relationship with your Heavenly Father, Abba Father? He wants it with you. I wanted a song, a hymn to express that. And I had one of those strange experiences that Phyllis and probably Barry and some of the others that deal with music regularly. I opened the Methodist hymnal, and I know somebody's going to say, oh no, not another new hymn. But I opened my hymnal to page 341. Would you turn there now? 341. While I was praying, now what hymn am I going to use to express this? And to my surprise, I looked down, and I almost cried when I read that first verse. I sought the Lord, and afterward I knew. He moved my soul to seek him, seeking me. It was not I that found, O Savior true. No, I was found by thee. That's the kind of God we've got. We think we're doing something, and God's already been reaching out to us. Will you stand as Phyllis plays this through one time? Won't use the organ. We're gonna use that piano so we can hear it better. And then will you sing this song? And even if you're not real sure about the notes, don't worry about it. Focus on these words. They're beautiful.